Welcome to As for Football's Army Football Show with your host and As for Football First Captain Rob Wright, an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army football team throughout their season as they seek to claim the Commander-in-Chief trophy.
Welcome back, Army fans. It is your guest host, Jordan Horvath, coming at you from Atlanta. I got Dan in Coastal Connecticut and special guest Andy out of Houston, Texas. Gentlemen, it is the week after Thanksgiving. Hopefully you've hit the gym in the last couple days to kind of burn off some of those calories. And Dan, you probably went swimming. How are we feeling? No Army football, no Air Force, Navy lost, uniforms dropped, rescheduled Army Air Force. A lot happened. Dan, where you at? How you feeling?
Yeah, man, it was a good week. I have indeed swam since Thanksgiving, and I also rode 32 miles on Saturday, so that was pretty good, almost 33. I really enjoyed this football weekend. It's much lower stress without Army, so I guess that's kind of a mixed blessing, but yeah, it was fun. I watched a lot of football. I mean, a lot.
Yeah, good. No, I absolutely agree. It's, you know, being able to just turn on the TV and watch football for football and not have to stress about Army is nice every once in a while. Andy, how are you? How you feeling? Tell us about yourself and then also kind of where you're at with Army football in general.
All right. Well, Dan's classmate, actually, we swam together back at West Point, class of 95. And down here just on the north side of Houston, about 45 minutes actually outside of College Station. So I kind of live in Aggieville, a lot of A&M fans in my neck of the woods. So, yeah. Had a good Thanksgiving weekend. Had both my daughters home. One's off in college. She's able to come home, so they're able to enjoy it. Caught, you know, a decent amount of football. Probably would have watched more football had it not been the Thanksgiving weekend with some family in town. But overall, good weekend. Low stress, nice and enjoyable. So,
awesome. Well, good to hear. Thanks for coming on. Andy is a Firstie Club. He's a member of the Firstie Club through our patron program. So if you're interested in coming on the show, become a Patreon. You too could be on the show. That's one way to support. Additionally, check out Emblem Athletic. They make, you know, quality gear. They're great to work for. We're working them with right now for a special project. So stay
super excited about the special project. I am super excited.
Yeah, it's Dan cooked something up. I don't know how many IPAs you were deep when you had that idea, Dan, but it was pretty good.
Well, we'll see.
I can attest that Dan does his best thinking when he's a few deep in the IPAs.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, at least you've come to terms with it and you're not in denial. That's good. So you're moving right ahead. Recapping the weekend, like I talked about earlier, Army Navy uniforms have dropped. If you have not checked them out, you need to. Modeled after the 25th Infantry Division. Army Air Force has been rescheduled to December 19th, which is my birthday.
Hey.
So hopefully the boys get a win for my birthday present. 21 football games got canceled due to COVID this past weekend. 21. So it has been ticking up throughout the last couple weeks. So hopefully we can get through Army Navy and Army Air Force without any cancellations. And then other Army sports had a really busy weekend. I know the men's and women's basketball team did really well. So big news just coming out of Army West Point doing big things. Dan, can you take us through some of the marquee matchups that you got to catch this weekend?
Yeah, I definitely will. Before we do that, shout out to the Army men's basketball team in particular, undefeated after three games as of this recording. That is pretty awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, so there were a bunch of games this weekend. I had three TVs going most of the time. Here's marquee matchups. We had Iowa State beating Texas 23-20. Iowa beat Nebraska 26-20, but didn't cover the bastards. Number two, Notre Dame beat number 19, North Carolina. That made me sad. 31-17. Central Florida beat South Florida 58-46. Jordan, your boys do not play any defense. 1,200 yards of total offense.
Don't.
Stanford beat Cal 24-23. Oregon State beat number 15, Oregon 41-38. Looks like Oregon State is headed to the Independence Bowl, barring something unexpected. Penn State beat Michigan 27-17. Buffalo laid a 70 burger on Kent State, 70-41. That game was insane. You've probably seen by now, running back Jared Patterson had 36 carries for 409 yards, 11.4 yards per carry, and 8 touchdowns. That ties a single-game NCAA record. And, folks, he could definitely have broken that record with one more carry. It was crazy. East Carolina beat SMU 52-38. Alabama beat Auburn 42-13. That wasn't even sporting. Michigan State beat number 8 Northwestern 29-20. Rutgers beat Purdue 37-30. Georgia Tech beat Duke 56-33. Washington beat Utah 24-21. Utah's now 0-2. UCLA beat Arizona 27-10. UCLA is another potential Independence Bowl matchup. And finally, Army opponents. Canceled games, we talked about Air Force versus Colorado State getting canceled. Also lost FAU at MTSU and number 7 Cincinnati at Temple. Sucks for Cincy because they certainly would have won that one. Georgia Southern lost a game to Georgia State 30-24. Southern had a bunch of key players get arrested on drug and weapons charges immediately following their loss at Army. That sucks. What's good, though, is that UT San Antonio beat the ever-living hell out of North Texas 49-17. UTSA now has 7 wins and will represent Conference USA West in the conference championship. And finally, the Memphis Tigers beat the Mids 10-7 in a game that featured no offense at all.
Yeah, Memphis Navy was tough.
We were watching a movie when that was going on, and I was just following it on my phone, and I was like, "Oh my God, this is the worst football I've ever seen."
Yeah, I mean, I tweeted something about, you know, UCF lost to Memphis. Memphis was explosive in that game, and I was like, "Seriously, UCF, like, how? What are you doing? You lost to this team."
Ahead. Sorry,
it was not good. No, Andy, what are your takes on the weekend?
So overall, you know, as I mentioned, I'm down here in SEC, kind of Big 12 country, but I'm originally from up northeastern Ohio around the Youngstown area. And, you know, a little side note, I grew up as a Browns and Cavs fan. So if you've seen the Believeland 30 for 30, I had a rough childhood. But overall, you know, if my interest mainly is in the Big 10 ball. It's what I tend to follow. I'll be outside of Army. And at this point, see Ohio State, Illinois get canceled. Just always like to see Ohio State play. And I will say I do come from a family divided. I've got some family from initially Toledo. I've got a brother who lives down in Columbus. So we have a mix of Ohio State and Michigan fans. So
wow.
It's kind of nice to see Michigan, you know, struggling down there a bit as Michigan and Penn State can, you know, battle it out this weekend for the kind of the bottom of the Big Ten East. And I think Penn State came out on top of that. And then even my brother, who's a diehard Michigan fan, he's convinced Harbaugh is out. And then, you know, Northwestern dropping from the unbeaten ranks didn't help the Big Ten too much. I did catch the Oregon State game, that upset. A phenomenal finish to it, a pretty amazing play that Chance Nolan, the QB, for his first play, I think it was, for Oregon State, 4th and goal with time running out. And he takes it in for a 1-yard quarterback sneak and essentially kills the Pac-12's, you know, playoff hopes, I think.
Yeah.
And another game I did caught some highlights of because I wanted to see if Sarah Fuller actually did get in and play. And being the dad of 2 daughters, I loved seeing that and just, you know, reinforcing with my girls. Hey, you can do anything you want to out there. So it was pretty awesome seeing that happen in the first, you know, first Power 5 game ever.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah, I'm going to talk about Sarah Fuller a little bit later, my favorite thing, but unfortunate that, you know, she got that fantastic opportunity and then their head coach got fired.
Yeah. It would have been nice to see her get a few more plays if Vandy was able to put a point or two on the board, but, you know.
Cross the 50-yard line, but whatever. Yeah, that was rough. You know, Oregon lost to Oregon State. You know, Andy, like you just said, it was like the battle of the highlighters or the reflective vests and the traffic cones. I don't know, but it was like a foggy game. And so it was just perfect that they had these bright, ugly neon jerseys on, because that's the only way you could see anything. But, you know, going into that game, Oregon State was a 2-3 touchdown dog. They don't stand a chance. They stink. Oregon's going to go, you know, Pac-12 championship. They might get into the CFP. And then they lose. And so for me, it's like it's proof that anything can happen on any given Saturday, or I think it was a Friday night. But, you know, we've had this debate all season on the show, on Twitter. Everyone else is having the debate of, okay, well, how do you rank and stack teams like Ohio State, who've only played four games this season? Like, you know, how do you evaluate that? So for me, that game was really just validation that you need to play football games to actually find out how good you are. I mean,
absolutely.
Wisconsin's 2-1 and they're ranked in the top 20.
That's insane. That's so insane. You played three games and you're that highly ranked. Like, you could still be in the fluke portion of the season at that point.
Exactly. Now Penn State, they played 5-6 games. They're struggling. We got it. Rebuilding year. Cool. But I mean, you know, three games after our third game, we thought that we were going to go to the CFP because we had, you know, blown out three opponents. So, I mean, no, seriously, like, you know, we shut out MTSU. We beat the crap out of ULM and we're thinking, oh, my gosh, look at us. We're a top five team. And that's not the case. So you got to play football. Iron Bowl, very disappointing. Honestly, I think any Iron Bowl after, you know, 2013 is going to be disappointing, because how do you compare to the kick six? Like, I'm not an Auburn fan, but like, that's like one of my coolest moments in college football. FSU canceled their final game of the season. You know, last week they canceled it against Clemson, got some flack from Dabo, canceled it this morning. Not this morning, I'm sorry, Saturday morning. Like 8 a.m. against Virginia, and then they just can't against
Duke. That's brutal.
So, not a great look. Not entirely sure what's going on with the program. What else may be in play, but that's unfortunate. Also unfortunate is I came to Orlando to visit my parents for Thanksgiving, and I debated flying back to Atlanta for the Georgia Tech-Duke game. Figured, it's not worth it. Georgia Tech's going to get blown out, and they win. So that was a little bit of a bummer. And then my last takeaway is the coaching carousel starting to ramp up, ladies and gentlemen. You know, before this season, they said, oh, no one's going to get fired. It's COVID. Everyone's going to give them a break. You know, Mason at Vanderbilt's done. South Carolina has an opening. Gus Malzahn is on the hot seat. He's been on the hot seat. And, you know, Jim Harbaugh. So I don't know. You know, would Harbaugh go back to the NFL? Would he come down to the SEC? What's going to happen? Would Gus go to South Carolina? I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, but we definitely have the makings of a very interesting January, late December, early January, as all that gets into full swing. So,
well,
Dano,
what do you got? Like I said, I watched a lot of football this weekend. Most of the time I had three basements set up down here in my basement, in my man cave, you know, the one that we normally have, plus the one that is usually out on the back deck, plus the one that we inherited from my mom that she had in her kitchen. I thought probably the worst thing about Thanksgiving was that Air Force's game got canceled on top of the cancellation of Pittsburgh versus Baltimore. That meant that I was outside smoking a turkey for 5 hours, down to watching the AEW Dynamite from the previous Wednesday, because there was no decent football whatsoever on Thanksgiving, and that sucked. You know, Buffalo, I thought, has to be the best unranked team in the country. Good defense, totally electric running game, good passing game. I really feel for the Bulls because, you know, they're stuck in the MAC, which is fine, but they have played zero non-conference games. So they're just, you know, no way to get ranked. What would Buffalo look like against, for example, the University of Tennessee? I mean, I'd probably make them a touchdown favorite in that game, but they can't even get it scheduled and they're playing conference only schedule. You know, that stinks for them. And my final takeaway is that UTSA, Army's best win of the season, is a really good team. You know, quarterback Frank Harris is healthy. You know, the ankle's good. He was excellent. He's been good, very good, 2 weeks in a row now. You know, he's 19 of 24 passing for 144 yards and two touchdowns. He had six carries for 113 yards. He has wheels, man. Another TD. Defense played real well. Sincere McCormick, 23 carries, 251 yards, two touchdowns. The Roadrunners, man, this is their year. They're going to represent Conference USA West in the CUSA Championship. They're going to play number 21 Marshall. That's going to be a great game. Friday, December 18th, 6 p.m., CBS Sports. I can't wait, man. That thing is going to be good.
Yeah. And, you know, Conference USA, not my favorite conference, but for sure, that's going to be a good football game.
Well, it's just, you know, you like to see teams making the most of their opportunities. And this year, especially, it seems like half the teams aren't even making anything of their opportunities. And, you know, if you're not watching Group of Five football this year, especially, you're missing it because the Group of Five has been exponentially more exciting than the Power Five for the most part.
Yeah. No, I mean, the Sun Belt came out and absolutely dominated the Big 12. So, yeah, Group of Five football has been good this year.
Yep, no, I agree. I've actually, you know, I've watched a lot more MAC and Sun Belt games than I ever have in years past, and find them more entertaining.
That like Wednesday night action is it's electric. Yeah. You're watching, you know, two teams and a bunch of kids who, you know, this is their only offer. They walked on and they're just playing their hearts out every single snap, and it's like 10 degrees up in whatever part of the country they're in, and it's just. It is worthwhile. I'm not going to lie. I'm becoming a Big Mac fan.
Yeah. Well, nobody's out there making a business decision, right? They just want to play.
Exactly. Yep. And it's like pure college football and just, you know, family, it's fans. It's almost like a high school football game, but, you know, it's obviously much better, but it has that feel to it. So.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
And with that, we're going to move on to the Fact or Fiction Revisited. If you remember last week, it was just me and Dan on the show. So this should hopefully go quickly. So last week, I said that Cincinnati will land in the college football playoff. I said fact. Dan said fiction. No word yet. However, Pac-12 is out. Big 12 is out. Ohio State has to play their last two games of the season in order to even be eligible for the Big Ten Championship. They're 4-0 right now. So with the way things are trending, I don't know what type of outbreak they have. I don't know. But if they miss one more game, all of a sudden they've played five games on the season, no longer eligible for the Big Ten Championship. I don't see them going to the college football playoff, especially when you'll have an Alabama, Clemson, and Notre Dame team who have all played at least 10 games. So if the committee ever is going to take a Group of Five team, this is the year. Andy, I know you're a Big Ten fan. You've also become a Group of Five fan. What do you think on this? Do you think Cincy has a shot?
Yeah, I think they do. As long as they keep playing, I've been impressed watching them. You know, they look tough. They continue to get better. You know, I'd like to think we'd be able to give them as good of a game as we did early in the season at this point, you know, but they've continued to improve and get stronger. And, you know, the COVID, the way it's been going, there's a reasonable chance that Ohio State might not get one of the last two games in, and that might open the door for Cincy. Be great. And I also got family from all over Ohio, so I've got family. My father's from Cincinnati, so that would be pretty awesome to see Cincinnati get in there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be great to see for a lot of reasons.
I was going to say, if you just take one team from the SEC and you just take one team from the ACC, because Notre Dame is formally in the ACC this year, then you can't keep Cincinnati out, regardless of what Ohio State does, because you would definitely take Cincinnati over anybody in the Pac-12 or the Big 12. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think you would.
You would hope that they would.
Would think, I mean, yeah. Anyway, what do I know? No, I don't think they're going to get in. I still think that's fiction, but this is definitely their best chance forever.
Yeah. I don't care when it gets announced that Cincinnati is going to get that fourth spot. I'm going to call you and I'm going to gloat when it happens, Dan. I don't care if it's 2 in the morning. It's going to happen. Leave your ringer on. Get ready. Last week, you said that Colorado State beats Air Force. Didn't matter. Game was canceled. Classic Share Force move. And then fact or fiction, Navy does not go to a bowl game given their record. I said fiction. Dan, you said fact. We have no clue what's going to happen. Bowl eligibility is not a thing in 2020. Every team is quote unquote bowl eligible. So I guess the assumption is that conference tie-ins and TV revenue and, you know, whoever makes the largest donation to, you know, ESPN's favorite charity will get into a bowl. The American Conference has 7 tie-ins. Navy is currently sitting at 7th in the conference. They own the conference tiebreaker over the next two schools, ECU and Tulane. Dan, what bowl are they going to go to? What do you think?
they're going to go to the Military Bowl with a 3-6 record. You know, this is where they are. Maybe they wind up 4-5. But anyway, they're going to wind up at home sitting in their damn barracks rooms, then playing in the Military Bowl at home in their own empty stadium again, where I'm sure they're going to lose with a losing record. It's the craziest thing I've ever heard. And what stinks about that is that Tulane, the next team out, is probably going to finish at least 500. And, you know, how do you keep them out like that? But this is where we are.
Yeah. Andy, do you agree with Dan?
Yeah. No, I do. It's a weird year, but to see how things will play out, I don't really have much else to say. I agree with him, though.
So
thanks, man. Appreciate that.
Yep.
So just because I'm hosting while we're talking about Navy, just want to throw this out there. 2015, Naval Academy was 11-2. 2016, 9-5. 2017, 7-6. 2018, 3-10. 2019, Malcolm Perry experiment pays off, 11-2. This year, they're 3-5 right now. Assuming they don't play Tulsa and they just play us, let's call that a loss. And assuming they lose to Virginia or Virginia Tech in the Military Bowl, let's say they're 3-7. Best case, they're 4-6. 3-10, 11-2. I don't know. I don't love that. And, you know, to me, that doesn't really seem like a step forward. You know, they had Keenan Reynolds. They built up through, you know, 2015, 8 wins, 9 wins, 8 wins, 11 wins. And then they just kind of fell apart. So do you think, at what point does Ken get put on the hot seat or need to start making some changes? Do you think that happens this year? Do you think that happens at all? Or am I just, you know, reading into something that isn't there?
I think you're reading into something that isn't there. Yeah. I, you know, Ken Niumatalolo is not going anywhere. He's already committed to life. I think Navy's committed to him. I certainly don't think they're going to get a better coach in there. The guy that they might experiment with replacing is Ivan Jasper, their offensive coordinator. You know, for me, I still think that their problems are all on offense. And I was going to talk about this more next week, but they've gone so far away from sort of what brought them and sort of the offense that Paul Johnson designed. And I just think it's hurting them this year.
Yeah. And I'm not calling for Ken's head. I'm just saying, you know, 2 seasons ago, they were 3-10. Last year, they're 11-2. Now they won 3 games this season. So is last season a fluke or are these 2 seasons a fluke? Well, I don't know.
They had a professional caliber quarterback on their team. And that makes a huge difference. Yeah. You know,
yeah.
But yeah. Okay. It made a huge difference to build the offense around one of the most dynamic playmakers in Academy history. Sure. Okay. That, you know, I don't know what that proves.
Yeah. Just food for thought. I don't know. Andy, what do you think?
I agree. I don't think, you know, I think Ken's safe. You don't think he's there as long as he wants to be there, unless he pulls off like 3-10, 0-11 seasons in a row or something. I mean, if commitment he's dedicated to the program, the fit with the school and everything, and you know, turn down BYU, I don't see him going anywhere ever. You know, and agree with Dan on the comments about last year's team, you know, behind Keenan Reynolds, and just that was what carried them last year, and just beyond him, they're kind of been in a little bit of a rebuilding phase.
Yeah. So I don't know, we'll see what happens. Just throwing that out there that, you know, this is their second 3-win season in the last 3 seasons. So, all right, Dan, late breaking news. Do you want to take us through that?
Sure. There's a bunch of big news this week. First off, Army Air Force was rescheduled to December 19th, as we've discussed. Army tried to reschedule the game for this past weekend, but reports indicate that the United States Air Force, quote, could not get a plane. With this, Air Force has succeeded in a few of their primary goals this season. One, they have upstaged Army-Navy and will be playing after the Army-Navy game. Two, they have succeeded in playing without the Corps in attendance. And three, they have reversed the orders of the bye week, so they now have 10 days to prepare, and we do not. And also the uniforms, but I guess we can talk about that after the Air Force game.
Yeah. Andy, what are your thoughts on the Air Force game?
I think, you know, to me, takes me back to my high school football days a little bit. The mentality is, get a chance to play a game, it's the reason you play it. Air Force might be, you know, well, most likely is playing some games and you know, trying to dodge or set the circumstances to their favor. Now, it doesn't put us at a grave disadvantage or anything. It's reasonable. We go play them, plain and simple. You know, I grew up in Ohio. I played in high school. One of my coaches always said, you get out to play some smash mouth football and kind of got a chance to play, you go play.
Absolutely. And I agree. And, you know, there's Army fans who, you know, 3-4 weeks ago said, oh my gosh, this is a war crime that we're not going to play Air Force. What do you mean? This is horrible. And they came out and said, okay, this is when we're going to play Air Force. And those same people are like, oh, we can't play Air Force then. You know, we can't do that. It's like, you either want to play the game or you don't. It doesn't matter when we play it. Tradition's out the window. It's 2020. We're playing the game. Yep. Deal with it. Let's go play some football.
All right. You want me to move on to the uniforms?
Yeah. Why don't you?
So Army dropped the Tropic Lightning 25th Infantry Division at Pusan uniforms. These are OD green with white lettering and spray paint / graffiti motif. A bunch of really amazing history in the write-ups. They had a whole write-up on stand or die at the Pusan perimeter, fixed bayonets at Bayonet Hill. That was an amazing read. Amazing. And then the whole thing with the wolfhounds and no fear on earth. There's a giant monster list of grads that served in these battles at tropicallightning.football. They're honoring 10 different units within the 25th Infantry Division combat team, including the 5th Ranger Company, 4 separate infantry regiments, 3 field artillery battalions, and 2 tank battalions. I'll use this opportunity to point out that this is why there is a tank in the promotional material for the 25th Infantry Division, which is a light infantry division. It's because this uniform honors a specific combat arms team fighting at a specific place and time in history, not so much the current 25th ID, although obviously it's still the same division. Yeah, man, I love these uniforms. I thought they were awesome, and I thought the history was really unique. And despite having served in the Korean Peninsula, you know, when I was in the Army, I didn't know that much about the Pusan perimeter battle. And I thought it was really, you know, tough read. I learned a lot.
Yeah, no, it was a fantastic read. If you haven't checked it out, you need to. Also, I mean, who else gets to ride on a tank for their uniform reveal? Like last year, it was a Huey. This year, it's a tank. Like, I mean, come on. Like everybody else, they go in the locker room and they, you know, do some strobe lights. Ooh, like we're on a freaking tank. So, Andy, what'd you think about the uniforms?
Yeah, and I thought that was pretty cool in the promo video. I think I was there all kitted up and behind, I think it was a 50 cal. I don't recall a weapon on at one point of the video. But yeah, I've been waiting to see what the uniforms going to look like for about a month now. And just, you can just ask my kids. I've been yeah, I like them. I like the layout. I think they're pretty awesome. I never heard it called the electric strawberry before, but I don't have any history with the 25th ID or no personal connection, so to speak. But love the OD jersey and the wolfhound down the side of the pants. And the one thing I always like about these is the story, the history behind it. The history behind the design. And, you know, the thing when I read through the history I really liked was the Wolfhounds, the 27th Infantry Regiment. Those guys sounded like a bunch of badasses. Most Medal of Honor winners to go and buy. They had a North Korean tank they had disabled and tagging it with their, you know, Fox Company and Wolfhounds on the tank as well. So I thought it was pretty awesome. You have to say, though, my favorite overall still goes back to the 82nd uniforms. It's part because I spent a couple years at Ed Bragg and about a year and a half in the 82nd. So, but I'm all for uniforms. I love them.
Yeah, I agree. They're super cool.
Yeah, I just missed it. I served in the 24th Infantry Division at Fort Stewart back right before they reflagged to be the 3rd Infantry Division. So I just missed having one of my old units honored. If they'd done the 24th, they probably would have done the 64th Armor Regiment. I was in 464. So alas, maybe someday.
Maybe one day. And with that, they're going to get to your unit, people. Like, calm down. Like the first year when they did 82nd, I remember I had an instructor who was 101 and she was all worked up because they made Band of Brothers about the Screaming Eagles and not the 82nd. What the hell is this? You can't buy it. I got it. Everybody thinks that this year we should have done the 2nd ID or the 3rd ID. They're going to get to your unit. It's okay. I understand Ranger Regiment's cool and it's SF's cool. Like, they're going to get there. These have been planned out years in advance. Like, Calm down.
It was a little hard for me personally. I'm not taking anything away from the 25th ID or these uniforms because they are very cool. But I was in the second ID. I was in Korea. Here we are talking about Korea. And it's like, wait, what? So they definitely pulled a fast one and fooled me that time.
Yeah, they're going to get there. They have not disappointed us yet. Every year has been awesome, and they've really tied into history. So they'll get there, I promise.
Yeah, the only other ones I'll be looking forward to, or well, I'll be looking forward to all of them, but the only ones I'll really have personal connections to is when they get to First Armor Division. I spent about 3 years there, including plenty of time in good old Baghdad, so back in 03.
Hell yeah. Thunder Run.
Yep.
So, I mean, who knows? I mean, 03, hey, maybe 2023 they're going to do first Armored. Who knows?
All right. Yeah, man, I'm just waiting on my time. That's all there is. We'll see.
You're gonna get it, and you're gonna be obnoxious, and you're gonna wear it every day. We got it. It's fine. You're gonna have that moment. Let other people have their moment now.
Yeah. No, that's yep. This is where we are.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, come on, and it's cool. I mean, yeah, I saw a Navy fan said, "Oh, it looks like an ammo can." I mean, they're not wrong, but
yeah.
It's really cool.
This is the second time they've done essentially olive drab with spray painted, regular Army stenciled lettering. So I would like to see something that's a little outside that box next time. But yeah, no, it looks good. I mean, and it definitely is on point for what they're trying to do.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, the Army did have olive drab with that lettering for like 75 years. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely.
I mean, they're not going to come out in, colonial wigs and, stickers and stuff like that. I mean, come on. So,
maybe someday.
You never know. All right. Moving on. That's getting weird. Football preview. Dan, what are we watching this weekend? You have become the master of the back deck / basement viewing experience. So what is going to be on your TV?
So this weekend is normally championship weekend, but we are all messed up because of all the different teams. A few teams have played their whole schedules, like UTSA, for example. A few teams have games still to make up. Quite a few Big Ten and MAC are still playing important late season games. And I mean, heck, the Pac-12 only just started. So it's like all over the place. And yet, even with all of that, there aren't like a huge number of good looking matchups. Kind of starts on Thursday when you've got Air Force at Utah State. Then Friday night, probably one of the better games of the weekend, is Louisiana at App State out of the Sun Belt. Then Saturday, arguably the best game of the entire weekend, is number 25 Liberty at number 14 Coastal Carolina. As of this writing, TV coverage is to be determined. Then you got Fresno State at Nevada, UCLA at Arizona State if you want to see a potential Independence Bowl preview. Ohio State at Michigan State, Texas A&M at Auburn, that's probably going to be a slaughter. Texas at Kansas State, Memphis at Tulane, kind of a big game in the American Conference as it happened. Indiana at Wisconsin, West Virginia at Iowa State, that's a big game in the Big Ten all of a sudden. I'm sorry, Big 12 all of a sudden. Tulsa at Navy, that's a big game for Navy. I don't know about Tulsa.
If they play it.
Yeah, how would they get out of it? Let's come back to that. Boston College at Virginia. Clemson at Virginia Tech, Alabama at LSU, and finally Houston at Southern Methodist. I don't know, man. Some of that is good. Some of it's not.
Yeah. Andy, what are you watching? What looks good to you?
Yeah, to me, going back to my Big Ten roots, Indiana, Wisconsin. I want to see if Indiana's for real, the Hoosier State, playing with an oblong ball instead of a round one. So that'll be a pretty interesting game. especially after the way Indiana came back against Ohio State, Michael Penix Jr. just lit them up for 500 yards in that game. So hopefully, this could be a test of how real Indiana is. And then Liberty Coastal Carolina sounds pretty interesting game. I've been watching a lot more, the group of five games, and I think that'll be a pretty good matchup. And I mentioned Ohio State, and sorry, Jordan, I am a Buckeye. That's where I come from.
Yeah.
But, hopefully their secondary shows up, as I mentioned. Overall, as you mentioned, we talked a little bit about CFP, but this would be a rough year to be on that committee. There's going to be plenty of complaining, bickering. You know, as you said early on, how do you pick teams that have only played a handful of games? They haven't really gotten too deep into the season. I know, being Ohio State fans, they historically have laid a goose egg some point in the season and just came out and not showed up and got beaten by a team they should have beat by 30 points. The shortened season, maybe that doesn't happen, but how do you decide who's in and who's not? And if there's ever a year to mess around with it and consider expanding, going to 8 teams, then I think this would be the best, perfect opportunity to try that out in this season. So, I would love to see them go to something that's a little bit more like a March Madness model, where you have so many conference championships get straight into the playoffs, and you have I'd say 5 power conference champs get in, and then 3 at large bids beyond that. I think that'd be a good model, especially to perhaps try in a season like this year.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I had a little rant planned about Ohio State before I found out that you're an Ohio State fan. I don't want to make this weird. I'm gonna say, a couple years ago, Ohio State tried to trademark the word "the" because they're the Ohio State University. Great. Good for you. Is it the Florida State University? The University of South Carolina? Like, come on. Whatever. Like, it was probably a publicity stunt. Whatever. I don't understand the hype. I'm not from Ohio. I mean, I was born in Florida, so I don't get it. But at the end of the day, they've played 4 games. They beat 3 subpar teams. They struggled against Indiana. I mean, they came out and it was, 35-7 at half, and then the game ended 42-35. So defense is questionable. 107th ranked strength of schedule, and they're ranked number 3, number 4 above, a BYU team who's played, 9 games, 10 games, a Cincinnati team who's played 9 games. I don't think that's right. We've already established the Big 12 and the Pac-12 are out. Big 10, I don't know. I don't think that, Ohio State has played enough games to be in and should be considered. But just across college football, we're really starting to see a separation between the good teams and the bad teams, and the teams mm-hmm. that used the summer and the offseason to prepare and have focused on discipline, and then the teams who've just said, hey, we got some talent, we're going to win football games. Because the teams that have said, no, we're going to focus on fundamentals, we're going to be ready to play anybody, anywhere, are the ones who are actually going out and playing football games and winning those football games. And, the other people who have said, oh, we're XYZ program, we have this quarterback, we have this running back, they're the ones that aren't doing so good. So, in my opinion, I'm a traditionalist when it comes to college football. I don't think people should have, long hair and facial hair. I think they need to shave that. No names in the back of the jerseys. This is like 1970. Everybody's on the wing team with a full back. Like, that's the college football I love. And, it's good to see that those teams are doing well.
Oh, my goodness.
Jordan.
Yes, sir.
You sure you're not like a grad from the 60s or 70s or something? Yeah.
No.
old grad.
Yeah, Jordan, you're the grumpy old man of the podcast all of a sudden.
I'll wear that crown this week. It's fine. And I'm not gonna write an angry letter and with this borderline racist stuff like that guy did at Penn State. You want to wear long hair, whatever, I don't care. It's the coach's decision. I'm just saying, if I was the coach, I wouldn't do that. So, but I'm not, and I'm never going to be a coach. So who the hell cares what I think?
If I could grow my hair out like Fabio, man, I would own it. And you would just have to live with it. Let me just tell you. So my biggest thing is Liberty is 9-1. They're about to play their 11th game. This will almost certainly be the last game they play. They're playing at number 14, Coastal Carolina, who is undefeated. Liberty, no matter what happens, is not going to go to a bowl game because of conference tie-ins. That's just driving me crazy. Like, the whole way this bowl thing is looking like it's going to shake out drives me crazy. You got Tulane, they're 5-5, playing Memphis, who's 6-2. I do not think Tulane is particularly worse team than Memphis. I would not be surprised if they win, but they look like they're worse because their record is 500, even though they've played 2 more games. It's just crazy. And now that the non-conference schedules basically don't matter at all, it doesn't help Tulane that they played more non-conference games. It's just, I just don't love it. And you mentioned this already, but how in the world is Wisconsin number 16 with just two wins? Like, that is insane, man. That's exactly crazy.
It's garbage.
So yeah, I get that it's been a strange year and it's fine. And I guess it's all going to shake out, but taking sub 500 teams to bowl games because of conference tie-ins drives me crazy. I saw a projection that Tennessee with two wins is going to go to a bowl game and Liberty's going to be left out. Like, that's, I have a little heartburn with that because Tennessee is not good. I love Tennessee, but they're not good.
Yeah. It's a weird year. I get it, but you know, to your point, I mean, these guys have gone out and showed up every single weekend and won 9 football games, and they're not going to get a chance to play in the postseason. That doesn't seem right.
I don't know. What are you going to do?
We can't really do anything, so it stinks. But I'm not going to lose sleep over it.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
And moving on to fact or fiction, I'll lead us off. And, you know, typically College Game Day is always at Army-Navy because it's the only game played because it's the greatest rivalry in all of sports. However, because of COVID, some other games have been rescheduled. And now, you know, Army-Navy is being played with 10, 12 other games that day. Might actually be more at this point, including Ohio State-Michigan. So, is College Game Day going to be at West Point for Army Navy or Army Air Force? Dan, what do you think? Fact or fiction?
That is total fiction. There's no chance. The biggest reason is because CBS has the contract to broadcast Army Navy and Army Air Force, and College Game Day is an ESPN product, and ESPN is not looking to do any favors for their rival network.
Andy, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm with Dan. I think it's fiction as much as my heart wants it to be fact. All the other big games going on that day, it's been an easy decision in the past because we were the only show in town. I'd love to say ESPN is going to do it for the, you know, be patriotic and do it for the truly America's game. But I just don't think they will.
Yeah. I'm going to go out on an island. I'm going to say fact. I mean, Cincinnati, Tulsa, and Miami, North Carolina are the two other best games. Obviously, you know, Michigan, Ohio State, but that's noon on Fox. I don't see them going to that, especially because Urban Meyer and that whole crew is going to be there. So maybe, you know, when else are they going to come to West Point? I think it'd be really cool. But, I mean, they're in Connecticut. It'd be easy to just drive over. I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to say fact, but ready to be proven wrong. Andy, you have a fact or fiction. Hit us with it.
Yep, I said, being that I live down in Aggie land and SEC land, the SEC team gets two teams into the rankings this week. Just notably, the A&M jumps up into the ranking. So, Alabama obviously is going to be at number one again, and I think A&M was number 5. So that's my fact or fiction for the week.
Yeah, I think A&M will jump just because people are starting to raise doubts about Ohio State and having not played enough games and if they're even going to be eligible. So I could very easily see A&M and Ohio State flipping, 4 and 5. So I'm going to go ahead and say fact. Dan?
All right, so I haven't looked at this today. Alabama's number 1. I assume Notre Dame is number 2, Clemson is number 3, and the question is who's going to be number 4, right?
Yeah.
Texas A&M or Ohio State? Nope, they're going to – Ohio State. Sorry, guys.
Ooh. Andy?
They love Ohio State, man. That's a huge fan base. Yeah. You got to sell.
Yep. I'm going to go with fiction on it as well. I'm going to disappoint all my neighbors down here. I think Ohio State's going to hang on to some 4 spot.
All right. Dana, what do you got?
Okay. So the biggest game of the weekend, as we've said many times, is Liberty at Coastal Carolina. And my fact or fiction is that it winds up on either Stadium or ESPN Plus because of weird scheduling things. And I will just go ahead and tell you guys that it's fiction because, breaking news, the game has been added to ESPNU for 2 p.m. Eastern. It's still kind of crazy that arguably the most important game of this of the weekend is on ESPNU, is on ESPNU, but here we are.
I mean, at least it's not like ESPN News or ESPN Deportes. I mean,
yeah, I guess so.
It's from Yoko.
Exactly. At least they're actually on TV.
That's true.
Yeah. All right. So let's roll right into our favorite thing and how to support the show. Dan, you're going to lead us off. What do you got?
Yeah. Well, my favorite thing is that the president has announced that he will be in attendance for Army Navy. You can say what you want to about this particular president, but the guy loves Army football. He's been at every single Army football game, and it's an honor to have the serving president attend the game. And I just think that's cool. So there you go.
Yeah, absolutely. Andy, what do you got?
Yep, I'll shift gears on something that's a little bit different on favorite thing. And so the Swim Across the Sound is a swim across the Long Island Sound that Dan and I have done as a relay. I know Dan's done it several times. 1 year we got weathered out. And 2019, we went up there with a couple of other veterans, two Navy guys, and did a swim across the Long Island Sound as a relay. It's about 15 miles, and it's a charitable fundraiser for the St. Vincent Foundation. Support the fight against cancer. That's something that hits really close to home for my family, for myself and my daughters. And looking to this year, we got COVID-ed out. I was actually planning to go and try it by myself, a solo attempt this year, but I will be gearing up for next year in late July, August 2021 to get out there and raise some money to help support the fight against cancer up in the Northeast. And yeah, so hear more about that. And I believe Dan's going to be out there as well as part of a relay once again. It's a great, great, great event. It gives me a really good reason to get my ass in shape. and definitely an enjoyable all around time. Plus I get to come hang out with Dan and drink a few of his beers.
Yeah. So let me just tack on and say that Andy was going to swim 15 miles. So for those of you who have never tried to swim that far, that's going to take him about 9 hours. And it is an insane thing for a 47, 48-year-old dude to want to do. And I'm super impressed that he wants to try that. Andy, man, I wish you the best of luck. And I will definitely be in a boat next to you in a relay because I don't think I am just mentally prepared to do that.
But just have a beer on ice for after.
That's an amazing thing. And I can't wait to see you do it. And this year sucked that you didn't get a chance to try it.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. But very cool. Yeah. All right. Yep. Go ahead, Dan.
No, I was just going to say, bringing it up on this podcast gives me an excuse to bring it up again on the show when it's fundraising time. I keep thinking that, you know, the show is going to get big enough that we can raise like $100,000 in 1 year. And to be fair, we have raised something like $40,000 over the past couple of years. But, you know, it would be awesome to get our listeners and our readers to help support, you know, our Andy's and my favorite cancer charity. So there you go.
Yeah, fantastic. And stay tuned for more information on that when it gets closer to fundraising time. We'll be pushing out some information on that. And I'm going to talk about Sarah Fuller. So if you have something nasty or disgusting to say, you're a horrible human, go to church, call your mother, whatever. Like, come on, be better than that. So first woman to play in a Power 5 game. And I want to take this out of the context of, you know, she's dealing a blow to the patriarchy and whatever other crap. I don't care about that. The end of the day, you have someone who has never played football before, who strapped on pads, came out onto a Power 5 field and played. And that's really cool. And I read an article today that her soccer coach contributed to. And he talks about, well, it's so cool, but you know, there's more to the story. And it's not this girl who, you know, has gone through her whole life trying to, you know, prove men wrong and all this other stuff. She's just a normal girl. And she got to Vanderbilt and she broke her foot as a freshman, missed the season, freshman year. Sophomore year, she's a goalie. She's going, she's diving, you know, around trying to block balls, slips a disc in her back, misses the second season. Junior year, because she hasn't played at all, rides the bench behind two seniors. Senior year, ready to go. The only other goalie's a freshman. COVID cancels all the spring games, so she gets no playing experience whatsoever. Over the summer, she gets a stress fracture in her foot, loses her starting job as a senior to a freshman, rides the bench for the first four or five games, works her ass off, fights her way back, starts, leads her team to an SEC championship, and is the best goalie in the conference. That in and of itself is incredible and super cool. And then the fact that, you know, literally a week after doing that, she straps on a helmet and shoulder pads and goes out and kicks a football. That's just so cool. And it's not about politics. It's not about whatever else. Like, that is the American dream. If you work hard, it's going to pay off. And you can do anything if you work hard enough at it. It would have been so easy for her to quit so many different times in her collegiate career and go home and do whatever, but she didn't. And she kept persevering, and she's now done incredible things, and it's paid off. And that warms your heart. And that fires me the hell up that, you know, at the end of the day, if you work hard enough for something, you can literally accomplish anything.
Awesome, so, man. I love it. I didn't know any of that stuff. As I was reading through this, I was totally motivated. That stuff is amazing.
Yeah. It's just, you know, because everyone in the news and the media has taken their own spin on it. And, you know, it, at the end of the day, it's about a young lady who's gone out and done an incredible thing in the face of multiple setbacks and years of adversity. And yeah, it's just awesome. Also, focus, she's super smart and cute. And I wish she was single, but she's not. So.
Well, it's just amazing to focus on the athleticism of it. You know, forget any of the other. The athleticism of it is the amazing part. Like, that's the amazing part.
Exactly.
And the determination side, I'm aware of all these injuries and setbacks you have, but it's that determination, because it's easy. You have one of those along the way in your collegiate career. It's pretty easy to just, you know, hang it up and I'm going to focus on my academics. But to have that drive to keep coming back, keep fighting back, and get that payoff at the end, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's super motivating, no doubt. So that is it. That's our show. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show and the kind of weird bye week, no Army football. Quick reminder, support the show. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Like us on, or join our Patreon, and then make sure you support Emblem Athletic. Be a gear hero for your unit. Go out and get some high quality custom gear. And yeah, with that, I'll say go Army, beat Navy.
Beat Navy.
Beat Navy.